Hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Veg Grower podcast titled Preserving Fruit. And today's day is the 15th of August 2016. My name's Richard and today I will be discussing recent updates on the plot and ways of preserving fruits such as apples and pears. I guess hard fruits, as I've already covered soft fruits. So, firstly, what's been happening down the allotment? Well, I've cleared lots more weeds from the beds and I'm trying to dig out the roots from the couch grass, and that just spreads and takes over. I'm hoping to totally eradicate this as it is very invasive. But now, couch grass looks a lot like ordinary grass, except the root is very fibrous and long. Its main problem is it's so invasive. I had planned on strimming a lot of the overgrown area, but my strimmer decided to break halfway round. Now, I had this fault before and I managed to repair it after being told it was unrepairable. Basically, the starter cord is fully pulled out and not retracting. Last time I replaced the spring, which I shall have to do again, I believe. But as the strim was out of action, I decided to use a hoe to clear all the crap from the overgrown area, which it worked, but it is a lot of effort, especially in the hot sun, to clear a small area. However, it works, and if I keep on top of hoeing, it should stay weed free until I'm ready to build more beds and plant them up, etc., etc. I harvested a bag of the Casablanca potatoes. Although I still have more home guard to go, I wanted to see how these had done in comparison. And it was another pound of potatoes from this bag, so the same as the home guard. This is making me think that the method I've used to grow potatoes this year is not successful. Now, this year I've planted potatoes in rotted horse manure with 3 sea potatoes, 1/3 from the bottom, and another 3 for 1/3 from the top. I think the horse manure needs to be more rotted down, and I've planted too many per bag, so next year I shall be only planting 3 seeds per bag at the most. After this, I harvested all the remaining shallots, digging over this bed to make sure none was missed and removing any roots. My plan now is to cover this bed in compost and manure, ready for garlic planting next month. I then harvested more runner and French beans and a few more pears. I've also harvested a couple of leeks because the 2 plants had started to send a flower spike up and I didn't want them to bolt before I could use them. This is telling me that perhaps the leeks need more watering, so I gave them a good soaking of watering, of which I shall continue during the week. So at home, the greenhouse is just a complete jungle. I've tied back the cucumber plant in there and tried with the tomatoes, but I've just taken over. Finding ripe tomatoes is challenging as I can't see for all the greenery, but they are there and I keep picking a few every day. The watermelon in the potting shed has grown really well and has in fact got some small fruits on it, so I may well have a success with this plant in the future, fingers crossed. This week's featured photo for this episode is in fact a photo I took the other day of the flowers on a small pumpkin plant growing outside. I'm pleased to say they are now flowering and hopefully setting to fruit, although I haven't seen any signs of fruit just yet. Over the past 2 episodes, hi, sorry, just had a phone call I had to take, so where was I? Right, over the past 2 episodes I've discussed the netting cages that I recently purchased. You may remember I placed one of these over a little bed in front of a potting shed to protect the lettuce and radish seedlings I had there. Well, I didn't quite get the ends sealed enough, I've discovered, and one of the chickens found their way in and ate many of them, the little buggers. However, it couldn't find its way out till I fetched her out, so I see that as a punishment. Okay, so let's rolling on with today's main subject. which is preserving fruits such as apples and pears, of which we will all soon be harvesting these, if we're not already. The series I've been discussing over the last few weeks have mostly involved freezing, drying, dehydrating or cooking in many different forms. This week is no different, but with a few additions. Now, freezing can be done with most fruits, but it's best to remove any cores or stones, as these will be very and these fruits will be very mushy when they come out the freezer. But something I like to do is just stew the fruit and freeze them as a stew. With apples, this is simple, making an apple stew and freezing them until ready to use, perhaps in a crumble thing. Sometimes really I make a load of crumbles or apple pie or plum pie and just freeze these ready to go for a quick pudding straight out of the freezer. Dehydrating is as easy as slicing the fruit and placing on a dehydrator, sometimes with a bit of lemon juice brushed over them or dipped in the lemon juice, and you just dehydrate until they're soft, flexible but dry. Chewy is probably the way I like to do it. Fruit levers are very similar, a sort of fruit jerky, I guess, is a way to describe them. I simply wash the fruit I plan to use and core or and I wash the fruit I plan to use, remove the core and stones, and peel and chop the fruit. I taste the fruit at this point just to test how sweet it is and whether it or not to add sugar. I place all the fruit in a pan with about 250ml of water for each litre of fruit and simmer. Cover and leave on a low heat for about 15 minutes or when this fruit is soft. I'll then mash this fruit to a pulp. Again, I test to taste, see if it needs any more sugar. And slowly add sugar, any spices if desired as well. I also add a bit of lemon juice just to help keep the colour. I continue to simmer till all the sugar is dissolved. I then puree in a fruit processor until the mixture is very, very smooth. I then pour this puree into a sheet of baking paper that has been pre-cut to fit my dehydrator. It's worth doing this in small batches, so as to use all the mixture but with several different leathers. Don't try and do one big one, just several small ones. This then gets placed in the dehydrator and dehydrated for about 6 hours, but I check regularly and adjust as required. If using several trays to dehydrate this, I like to keep changing the trays around to keep the dehydrating as even as possible, as some trays may dry quicker depending where they are in the stack. That does vary depending on your dehydrator, if you have one, or if you're using an oven, so on. The fruit lever is basically ready when it's easy to peel from a baking sheet. I'll then store this in an airtight container. Many fruits really do well made into chutneys and jams. I've put a few recipes out on the website and will have many more coming in the future, so it's worth visiting the recipe section on my site just to find some of these. Rather than going into detail on this episode, I've done many recipes over the last few weeks for this sort of method, so I don't want to bore you. Many fruits actually store very well just in a shed or an unheated room placed on racks with plenty of airflow around them. This method has really been done for centuries and is still a very good method. In the future, I plan to build a rack for this, so keep an eye out for that. But the idea is to keep the apples or the fruit off the ground and separated with plenty of airflow, somewhere dark and cool, and they will keep for months. In the past, I've wrapped each apple in newspaper and placed them in a box and kept the box in an unheated room. And this has worked quite well. The most important thing to remember with this storage method is to check on them once a month and remove any damaged or rotten fruit immediately. Now, my final method is one of my favourite methods, and that is to turn into an alcoholic beverage. I use apples in this example, as I've brought trees specifically to make juice or cider from. I'll take the ripe fruit and I cut and chop them down. I've done this in a food processor, but it's very time consuming. The correct kit is much better, but can cost a fair bit. This kit is called a fruit crusher. The fruit is then taken into a press and juice is then pressed out of this. I've actually bought a fruit press for this in the past. In the past I've also made various presses that have been okay, but an actual press is much better. Now at this point, if you don't want to make the cider, you can just use the juice, but to keep it for longer than a few days, either freeze the juice or pasteurise it. However, to turn the juice into cider is very easy at this point. Add one Campden tablet per 4.5 litres of juice. This stops oxidisation. I then take a hydrometer reading of the juice to get the start gravity. This lets me know if I need to add caster sugar dissolved well into the juice to bring the start gravity up. Ideally for cider, we're looking for a start gravity in a region of 1040 to 1045. In order to reduce the start gravity, I just add water. I start the fermentation process as soon as possible after pressing and poured into fermentation buckets with the adjustments made. I then add a sachet of yeast into the juice. I tend to use champagne yeast, but it's worth experimenting with different yeasts and give it a really good mix. This mixture then goes into a demijohn with an airlock fitted on top. I leave this until all the water in the airlock stops moving, which means the yeast has stopped fermenting and turning the sugar into alcohol. The cider now needs racking off. That is where the cider is removed from the demijohn into another, and the sediment is left behind and disposed of. You generally find the sediment sitting at the bottom. After a few days, I will rack off again, but this time I rack off into bottles ready to be drunk. This racking off process just leaves a much clearer cider. They're much nicer to look at. So that's it for this week. I hope I haven't gone too far into the cider making process, but that was a very rough run through. In the future, I plan on covering this subject more and in more detail. So if you have anything to add, let me know. Also, let me know if you have any methods of preserving fruit you do. I would love to hear them. So that's it for this week's podcast. Until next time, please take care, and I'll speak to you again next week, where I plan on basically covering root crops. And this series will be over soon of preserving fruits, also preserving crops. We've only got a few more things to cover, but we're getting there. Okay, so thank you again.